welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and with me in the studio today is Ken Thompson.
Hello, everyone.
And our special guest today is Diane Sears, who is the United States Coordinator for International Men's Day. She's chair of the USA International Men's Day 10-Year Plan Committee. She is an author, a publisher, a reviewer, an advisor on fatherhood and men's studies, and the managing editor of In Search of Fatherhood, a quarterly international journal. Diane, welcome to the program.
Thank you for inviting me. Good morning to you. Good morning to your staff. Good morning to your audience in Australia and around the world.
Well, Diane, thank you for that. And it is exciting to welcome you back on the program for International Men's Day. You are so active in so many areas relating to the welfare of men and boys that I don't think we can hope to cover them all. But perhaps let's start with International Men's Day. So every year, International Men's Day has a theme. What is the theme for this year?
This year, the theme is talk about male suicide. The incidence of suicide for men and boys is alarming. I think worldwide it's somewhere around 800,000 individuals commit suicide a year, and about 79% of those suicides are men and boys. It's funny you should mention that, because I've been on a crusade here in the United States to talk about the need to give men and boys emotional freedom. One of the reasons why men and boys are so depressed and so inclined to commit suicide is because of the way that they're socialized. When boys and girls emerge from the womb, they have the same set of emotions. They laugh spontaneously, they cry, they sing when they're happy. But when boys get to a certain age, they're not allowed to cry. I think it's somewhere after around 4 or 5 years of age when they start crying or sniffling because they're physically hurt or emotionally or psychologically or spiritually hurt, they are summarily discouraged from doing that. They're told, no, you can't do that. Boys, don't cry. Be a man. We're training them to not deal with emotions, particularly emotions of pain. And what boys grow up with the impression that strength, to be a man means to be strong. And to be strong means that you hide and mask your pain, no matter how great the physical or mental or emotional pain is. You don't acknowledge it, and you just move on. But it impacts them. First of all, it's unhealthy, and it's also insane. So what you have here, so you have men and boys who are not allowed to express their emotions. That's negative energy. Something has to be done with it. So that's why you have men and boys who self-medicate. They self-medicate through drugs, alcohol, sex, work, or they lapse into deep depression. Or they implode. By imploding, I'm talking about suicide. Or they explode. Explode is when they engage in some acts of violence. The emotional pain and depression that they're going through becomes so great. Something happens to them. It sets off a trigger. It's like a volcano. Explosion of fire and ash. Well, that's what happens with men and boys when they're not allowed to express themselves emotionally. And this fire and ash manifests itself in violence.
And is this the same all over the world? I know your particular expertise is in the United States, but in Australia we certainly have a major problem with the suicide of young males. And I think in some places like Trinidad and Tobago, it's even worse. So is this something you find is a universal condition for young men and boys?
Yes, but it's not talked about. In every part of the world, you have men and boys who are, if they're either greatly depressed or they're committing suicide. If they're not committing suicide, they are committing acts of violence. And all, it can be traced to the way that they were socialized. But let's take this a little further. So what I'm saying is, to stem the tide of suicide, we have to understand how we raised boys to become men. Part of the reason why there's a high rate of suicide is because it's not socially acceptable for men to express their emotional pain or their physical pain. In the West, the Western world has the wrong view about strength. In the Western world, to be strong means to, Mr. Macho, always confident, very stoic, always confident, not being vulnerable. But in actuality, vulnerability is strength, because believe me, it takes a strong person to allow themselves to be vulnerable in front of another person.
Is this something that perhaps we can learn from young females, because the female rate of suicide isn't as bad, is it? It's only perhaps one in four of the total number.
But see, girls and women, we're allowed to express our emotions. We're allowed to cry. Well, except in the boardroom. But that's a whole other story. I'm being facetious there. Okay. Well, basically, girls are allowed to cry. No one tells girls, oh, Susie, stop crying. It's not womanly.
You don't hear that expression at all, do you?
But yeah. If you stifle your emotions, it's a train wreck waiting to happen. I've been telling people that we need to think about re-socializing boys. At the same time, we need to get every segment of society to analyze and rethink all the misconceptions about men. And so let's say they have a relationship, they start dating, they have girlfriends, they get married, their wives and their fiancés and their girlfriends think that they are emotionally detached. And that affects the way women respond or do not respond to their fiancé or to their husband. That's part of what the tension is between the sexes, particularly in marriage.
That leads on to one of the answers to this problem. I think it was suggested by the Beatles, and this is a song called All You Need Is Love. And That Is All You Need Is Love by the Beatles. And we're speaking today with Diane Sears, who is the USA coordinator for International Men's Day and chair of the USA International Men's Day 10-Year Plan Committee. So, Diane, we were just talking about where some of these problems as far as the suicide rate. What are we going to do about it?
Asking me to turn this around is really simple. We just have to throw all these stereotypes and misperceptions that we have about men. You just have to throw them out. You have to deal with each man based on their merit. Just to give you an example of how this stereotype about men and this misperception affects our relationships. I had a young woman about, about 2-3 years ago. She had just gotten married. I think she'd been married for maybe about 2 years. And she mentioned to me that her husband was raised by his uncle, and that his uncle and him were very close, and the uncle had died. And they had a funeral to go to. And I said, well, how is your husband reacting to that? How is he handling the grief? And she said, well, he doesn't talk much about it. He seems to be okay. So then she said to me, well, what am I going to do if he cries? You see, with all this stereotype, we think that men are strong. We don't know what to do if the man cries. So I told her what to do. I said, if he cries in front of you, if he respects you enough to be that vulnerable in front of you, I said, you need to honor that. And I said, just go to him, hold him, make sure that he knows that he can cry in front of you, that he can express his emotions in front of you, and it does not diminish in any shape, manner, or form his masculinity in your eyes. I said, he may do it without warning, and I said, you have to be ready for that, and respond honestly, and just let him know that you're there for him, and that his being vulnerable makes you love him even more. Men will test women to see, can I be vulnerable enough? Because for a man, whether or not he can be vulnerable in front of the woman in his life, it's a test. It's really about trust. And if you don't respond accordingly, he will never be vulnerable in front of you again. It will never happen. It will never, ever happen again.
And we're talking about the theme for International Men's Day of Talk About Male Suicide. Diane Sears, what are the International Men's Day objectives for this year?
I'm trying to get a dialogue going about emotional freedom. One of the things that we're doing, we're getting the party started a little early here in the United States. We're having the 3rd Annual International Day of Prayer for Men and Boys. And I've got some experts gathered. Rick Belden out of Austin, Texas, who is a masculine psychologist and a men's issues thought leader. And one of the things that we're going to be discussing is the need for emotional freedom for men and boys as a means of helping to deal with the rising suicide rates. We're going to be talking about re-socializing boys and men, changing the way that we raise men and boys, particularly in dealing with their emotions. We're going to be talking about re-socializing girls, because at the same time, you have to re-socialize girls. You know, if you're going to allow men and boys to have this emotional freedom, then you have to re-socialize girls and women so that everybody's on the same plane emotionally. And so that the women, girls and women understand that a man crying because he's deeply wounded physically or emotionally or spiritually is not a sign of weakness, and that he's sending out an SOS. The other thing that we want to do, we're going to advocate for more mental health resources and support services. There are not enough resources and support services in the mental health area for men. and there's no information. I'd like to see a mental awareness campaign. And there's a gentleman called a gentleman named Greg Best. He has a song called Letting Go, which deals with suicide and depression, male depression. And so I selected that as the theme for International Men's Day 2016. That's going to be our anthem. I've been tweeting about it and posting it all over the place. This is a powerful song. To me, it sounds like the national anthem of all men and boys. In this song, he talks about being hurt and what it's like to be hurt and to be in pain and to be depressed. And then it's also a video. And at the end of the video, he talks about stopping suicide, improving mental health for men. He's also a mental health advocate for men, and he's going to be on the panel that I'm having for the teleconference that's coming up this Sunday.
We'll put the information on our website for people that are interested in following up on that song. Diane, I was going to ask you also about the International Men's Day 10-year plan. You're heavily involved with that as well, I think.
The idea for that came from Genevieve Twala, who is the International Men's Day Coordinator for Botswana. In 2011, it was in 2012, she contacted me because she wanted to duplicate an International Men's Day initiative that was done in 2011 in her nation. And so we started having a conversation, and she was saying, you know, it's great to have goals, but why don't we have why don't we quantify them? We were brainstorming and coming up with goals, and so she said, why don't we have a 10-year plan? So I said, that's great. So I said, well, I'll put together a 10-year plan for the United States. And she said, great, I'll see what you have, and I will follow up on that. What I did was there were some key challenges that the global team identified as obstacles to men and boys leading full lives and being whole souls and having the tools that they needed to strengthen and empower the communities in which they live. Physical and mental health was a key challenge. Education was a key challenge because the academic playing field is not level for boys. It's literacy-based. That was a key challenge because after a certain period of time, because the curriculum is not geared towards boys, naturally they lose interest, which leads to a high rate of dropout. We wanted to deal with violence, and particularly the tolerance of violence. So that was an area that we decided to focus on. Well, I introduced that mass incarceration and reentry. The reason for that being, when I started In Search of Fatherhood, after my first issue, incarcerated fathers gravitated toward the publication, and they started flooding my mailbox with letters and poems and essays, and they were like, hi, I heard about your publication. Here's my poem, here's my essay, will you publish it? So I would publish it and give them a copy at no charge, and then they would still be writing back. All of a sudden, I would get in these letters where they were saying, hi, I'm 26 years old, and I've been incarcerated since I was 16, or I'm 35, I've been incarcerated since I was 19. I was getting letters like this with the same theme from Maine to Hawaii. And so I'm saying to myself, well, how is it that 17, 18, 19-year-old boys disappear from the community and there's no yelling, nobody's talking about it, there's no yelling and screaming and marching in the streets about where's my son? What happened? How is that possible? So that led me down the path to find out what was going on at home, what was going on wrong at home, what was going on wrong in school, what was going on wrong in the community, et cetera, and so on. And so I created a mass incarceration, reintegration, restorative justice platform. As a result of that, about 4 years ago, I created the International Men's Day Repatriation and Healing Initiative, which opened up International Men's Day to incarcerated men for the first time in the United States. Yeah, you're right. We have a very high percentage of incarceration here in the United States. And on top of that, 600,000 men and women are released every year. And so I put that platform together to help speak to that. And so we set goals about by what percentage each year did we want to, for instance, decrease the number of people incarcerated? By what percentage did we want to reduce the high school dropout rate? By what percentage do we want to reduce suicide among men? By what percentage do we want to reduce the deaths for prostate cancer and so forth and so on? So that's how that came about. And I'm incorporating these goals into International Men's Day. What I'm doing is I'm looking across the country and looking at who's doing what in terms of solution-based and results-oriented initiatives, and I'm reaching out to them, asking them to come on board and join the United States International Men's Day family. Because the good news is, as bad as things may seem, there are people all over the world who are doing what they can to make things better. A lot of times, we don't know that they exist because you don't see them on television, or they don't make the front page of the newspapers because they're busy toiling behind the scenes in their communities. But they're there.
Diane, thank you for sharing it with us, but we've reached the stage of the program where we ask our guests to pick a song for us. Could you tell us which song you've picked and why you picked it?
Imagine. Why I like Imagine? Because Imagine is really about transcending boundaries. And that is what I have tried to do with my work. More alike than we are different. We may speak different languages. We may worship differently. We may look differently. We may dress differently. We may live in different parts of the world. But we're all connected. And what connects us are our hopes, our dreams, our passions, our disappointments, our triumphs, our failures. And everyone has a unique story to tell. Everyone has a key piece of the puzzle to bring to the table of humanity to make our world a better place. And Imagine sums that up. That's all. Imagine has always been my favorite song. It's a song about hope, it's a song about a world in which there are no boundaries.
That's a wonderful introduction. So Imagine by John Lennon.
No hell below us.
That was Imagine by John Lennon. A special thank you to our guest today, Diane Sears. Diane, thank you very much for being on the program and telling us about International Men's Day.
Well, thank you for having me. And before I go, I'd like to thank you. I'd like to thank Jerome T. Luxey, who is the founder of International Men's Day. I'd like to thank my team here in the United States, Gregory Johnson, Carrie Grieve, Scott Luxor, Douglas Cafagrossi, and I hope I've not left anybody out. But to my United States team, I want to thank all of you for your hard work. And together, we are going to change the world, and we are going to help the village reclaim its soul.
Don't forget all you listeners on Dads on the Air, we'd love to hear from you. You can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email, and we'll be in touch. And if you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. And that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.